Joining us right now, as he will each and every Monday, I guess we'll do a Tuesday in a couple of weeks because the Commanders will play on Monday Night Football, is Jay Gruden, the former Redskins head coach. And Jay Gruden is driven, once again, by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. We thank them for being back with us again so that we can talk to our pal Jay Gruden again right here on the Team 980. Hello, Jay. How are you, pal?
Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's great to hear your voice, and I appreciate you joining us again for another year. Before we get to the rest of the NFL, and of course, you can follow Jay on Twitter and make sure you keep up to date with him at, let me see here, let me pull it up so I make sure I get it, the right tag, at Coach underscore Jay Gruden, at Coach underscore Jay Gruden. I've seen a lot of golf shot videos. You're snarling at people. I love it, Jay. I like it. I mean, you know, I like that part about you. You know.
Yeah. Thanks. That's a compliment, I guess.
It is. I like when you get real close to the camera and you're just like you're trying to bite somebody's head off. I like it because that's what we do here. All right, let's get started with this. Obviously, a very, very, very disappointing performance by the Commanders in a lot of different ways on Sunday. Clearly, some of that was to be expected going against a team that's been together for a couple of years, won 3 straight division titles. Baker's second year, even though they lose Canales. Before we get to Jaden, were you surprised at how, I don't want to say completely one-sided, but largely one-sided that game was, or no surprise at all?
Yeah, I was surprised it was that one-sided. I thought Washington's defense might play a little bit better than that, but, you know, they have trouble. I thought they'd have trouble on the outside with their corners. You know, Forbes still struggling a little bit. St. Juice had some good coverage, but Mike Evans made some very contested catches in the end zone. Those are 2 good coverages, but 2 great throws and catches. Didn't get a lot of pass rush, which is disappointing. Defensively, I'm more concerned than offense. You know, I just don't know where they're going to find their answers at as far as rushing the passer and covering guys.
And we've been talking about defensive ends and pressure. It seemed to me like they generated some pressure, especially in the first half, Jay, before maybe the humidity and the legs wore down and all that, but they couldn't close the door. And that is, like, to me, that's the hardest part about pass rush is, okay, you generate the heat, you generate the hurry, but can you close the door? And Baker Mayfield just kept rolling out, buying time, extending, like a good veteran quarterback with mobility should, and they couldn't find a way to, again, stop that, especially on third down.
Yeah, that's the problem. And there's a lot of mobile quarterbacks in the league. There's only a few non-mobile quarterbacks that they're going to have to deal with. Most of these guys in their division, Dak can run around a little bit. Jalen Hurst can run around a little bit. Daniel Jones can run around a little bit. And those teams on their schedule can move. So you got to figure out ways to keep them in the pocket, get them on the grass, and get your punt return team out there. And unfortunately for Washington, that did not happen yesterday. They got to figure out ways to get it done, though, because schedule doesn't get any easier.
No doubt. We'll get back to the defense in a little bit, but your assessment of Jaden Daniels yesterday, we all know the rushing attempts, a lot of it under pressure, not all of it, some by design, the 2 touchdowns, competitor, you know, little bit of plus and minus, I guess, in the passing game, but overall, big picture, what'd you take away from what you saw out of Jaden Daniels?
Well, he was handcuffed a little bit. I think Cliff did a pretty good job of protecting him in his first game. A lot of screens, ball getting out quick. Didn't take a lot of chances down the field. And when he did call some plays down the field, the pressure got to him and Jaden had to escape and use his legs. You know, he kind of resorted back to his Arizona State days where he'd look at one guy and then he'd turn into a runner. And I think that's what's going to be the case early in his career until he feels comfortable in the pocket and they get people that can get separation on the outside. You know, other than Terry, I don't know who you're leaning towards to get that separation. You also have a rookie left tackle that you have to worry about calling plays, trying to get these guys open down a field. So they got some issues offensively. Obviously, they utilize the backs pretty well in the passing game. It was good to see Eckler make a couple hits and Brian on a screen make a nice run down the sideline. Ertz had a couple catches, which is good, but they got to figure out ways to get these receivers the ball. Somebody opposite Terry McLaurin has to make some plays somewhere, somehow, some way. Yeah. Where they got to get somebody.
Yeah, and when they had, you know, when they had Terry, first series of the second half, he overthrew him. Earlier, or I guess late second quarter, about 3 minutes left, Terry's first target of the game, he overthrew him along the sidelines, and I don't know if they would have been able to make that connection, but he missed two receivers that I saw screaming over running over the middle that looked to be a better choice. So it's not only finding way, like I said earlier in the show, Jay, and maybe you disagree. I mean, you drafted Terry and you know how good he is. To me, if you can't make that connection deep, or if that is what you want to do, okay, fine, I take a couple of deep shots, but find a way to get Terry quickly on a slant, on a little hitch, on a little smoke screen, whatever it is, just get the ball in his hands, make it easier for Jaden, make it easy for the offensive line, and get Terry an opportunity to make something with a missed tackle or with his legs or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be nice. And unfortunately, it didn't work out at all. You know, they didn't really try any slants or any lining them up inside at number two or number three or on the inside, working on across the field or quick outs or whatever it might be to try to give him the ball. And, you know, I think that might be by design. I think they're leaving Terry pretty much in the spot. They're mm-hmm. not moving him around a whole lot and are mm-hmm. trying to use these other guys in
what's,
the spot.
What's the advantage to that, Jay? I mean, because like...
I don't see one.
Okay. I thought you would answer it that way because obviously you and Sean, when you're here, and then Sean has obviously gone, use a ton of motion. Like I was just mentioning, Cooper Kupp was in motion the most amount of snaps last night, according to Next Gen Stats, any player in 7 years. I mean, it was ridiculous. So, like, and that was without Puka Nacua for a lot of the game. And, like, to me, if you're struggling to get something on track, or if you don't like the look, or if something's not right, like, what's the harm in moving a guy around either outside to inside or left to right or right to left or wherever you got to go?
Yeah, it's tough, though, when you have a rookie quarterback. You got to call these motions and change the formations. And
okay.
It becomes very wordy, and sometimes mm-hmm. as a rookie quarterback, you want to call basic things early in the season just to try to get them a feel for the game, and then eventually they'll add plays where they'll get Terry moved around at the number two in trips or whatever it might right. be. Hopefully that's the case. You know, I think first game of the year, probably a little bit more basic than they will be week two, week three, week four, week five, week six, et cetera.
So, no, that makes sense.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. That makes sense. You can follow, again, Jay on X, Twitter, at @coach_JayGruden. Does all sorts of podcasts, Underdog Fantasy, and everything in between here with us each and every Monday, thanks to the Ted Britt Automotive Group once again this year. All right, so you mentioned, obviously, first game. How much of that is, hey, man, Todd Bowles has been at this a long time. He's an uber-aggressive guy. They blitzed him a lot. They pressured him a lot. And you just don't want Jaden to be bogged down by, again, all of these extra parts of the play call, motion, this, that, and the other thing, getting everybody lined up, the new illegal formation rules against an uber-aggressive defense. And maybe the Giants, even though they have a good pass rush, won't be as aggressive now that Wink Martindale is not there.
Yeah, that's true. I think week one against Todd Bowles, if you watch their playoff game against Philadelphia, you probably were scared to death to call a pass play. They blitzed the hell out of
yeah.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
So they probably a little bit more simple and basic than they wanted to be. But that is a tough week one matchup for a rookie quarterback going against Todd Bowles. You know, it'd be nice to go after a defensive coordinator that plays a couple coverages and a couple fronts, but not Todd Bowles. He's an odd front, even front. He's in backer jams. He's got stunts, blitzes, cover zeros. He's got it all. So. He's just an accomplished coach and a very good coach and a tough matchup for a week one rookie quarterback. And all the rookie quarterbacks struggled. You know, Bo Nix struggled mm-hmm. mightily. Caleb Williams looked, didn't look very good either.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the case for these young quarterbacks, and it has been over the course of time. You know, I think last year C.J. Stroud was an anomaly, but for the most part, rookie quarterbacks struggle early in their career.
What – I was surprised – And maybe I'm missing something. You know, I like to run the ball a little bit more than the average bear. I was surprised they didn't do, you know, I've seen throughout training camp, throughout the offseason, a lot of toss pitches, a lot of, wide kind of runs, getting Austin Ekeler downhill and in space and on the edge away from a guy like Vita Vea. It didn't seem like there was a lot of that in the game plan either. Is there any reason that you could think of why that wasn't featured more prominently? I mean, we saw the screen a lot, so that was good, and I was expecting that. I just didn't see the other complimentary things that I was looking for.
Yeah, Cliff has always been an inside zone type guy and more of a, that tight end duo type play where they just kind of pound it between the tackles. Going outside takes a lot of time and a lot of work. You got to have a tight end that can hold the point of attack. You got to run weak side. You got a rookie tackle out there. The pursuit with Levante David is pretty good. He's a pretty fast linebacker, goes sideline to sideline. So maybe the matchups just didn't work out for those outside pitches, zone type runs. They try to hammer him inside, but hammer him inside is tough too with Vita Vea standing there. So just a tough matchup all the way around, but they did have some good plays, and I think it was good to see the quarterback scramble around and make some plays. Jaden Daniels looked like he competed till the end and did some things with his legs that they can branch off of and use them hopefully more outside the pocket and maybe get some balls down the field to Terry next week.
I don't think anybody is disputing what kind of competitor Jaden Daniels is already and is going to be. I talked to somebody we both know last night after the game, and they were just singing the praises and making comparisons to former quarterbacks that may or may not have played here in Washington that you may have coached and had some friction with. But the bottom line is how do you as a coach, I mean, it's clear he doesn't know how to baseball slot. How do you as a coach and as a quarterback mentor and guru as you have been get him to be like aggressive and make plays and extend plays with his legs and do all the things that he did really well, but also take care of himself and live for another day?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. That's because what makes him Jaden Daniels and the number two pick in the draft is his ability to make plays happen with his legs. So you have to allow that to happen. There are some plays that I wouldn't call. I think they call it a quarterback designed run inside zone.
Yeah.
And the pitch at the goal line that he scored on where he cut it back up and got smashed in the face and he scored on. Those are plays that I think you got to be careful of moving forward because he's not a very big guy. And you can take some vicious blows when in between the tackles there. Those are the ones I'm concerned about. When he scrambles outside the pocket on a pass play and he sees running lanes, that's different. But the design runs I'd probably stay away from right now early in the season. But just got to let him play and hopefully things work out. But I think he's a dynamic guy, and I think big plays will happen. I just hope the receivers and can get open a little bit better than they did yesterday.
Yeah, that was a problem, as you pointed out, I think in week three last year, when the receivers were running a lot of similar space routes and, whatever happened last year. All right. So let's get to this. A couple of game decisions, if you will, from Dan Quinn. There was some weird timeouts on offense and defense. I'll leave that alone. Cade York, who's their new place kicker, who's like their 14th place kicker already this year. He missed a 47-yarder earlier. Then they go for it try and kick a 56-yarder on 4th and 10 from the 38-yard line, which you know if he doesn't make, you're handing the ball basically back to the Bucs almost at midfield because of the weird field goal rules. Is that a decision? Like 4th and 10 from the 38, it's not so easy to just say go for it. I mean, I'm more conservative. I would probably try and get Tress Wade a punt, but like, how would you have handled that if you were making that decision yesterday, Jay?
He has a tough call, a rookie kicker, the first year kicker for him. Probably didn't know a lot about him, but surely they had to know that he can make a 56 yarder. That's why they tried it. And there's a lot of kickers, but probably 85% of the kickers in the league will drain that. You know, you saw the Dolphins kicker drain the winner from 56 or 57. So if you're an NFL kicker this day and age, you should be able to make a 56 yarder. 4th and 10 is a little bit too steep of a number to get the first down. You got a rookie tackle, rookie quarterback going against Todd Bowles with the litany of blitzes that he could call. That's a tough down. I think the field goal is probably the right choice. Kicker's got to make it, man. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's a little bit different. Certainly that makes sense the way you just described it. The other thing that I wanted to get to was, again, this whole notion of chasing points. So the situation was they score the touchdown on Jaden's first touchdown run. They're down by 10 late third quarter, and he goes for the extra point with the bad kicker. So he makes it, right? And they're down by 9, Jay, but that's still two scores. You know, and his explanation to me when I asked him after the game, why did you do that? I have more possessions. I don't want to chase points. And certainly that makes sense. But again, like we live in an era where teams are just uber aggressive, especially with 2-point whatever, and trying to get to within one score. How would you maybe have processed that? And I know it's not a big deal in the end, but would you have gone for two there late third quarter and sort of chasing points, or would you have been more conservative?
Well, you know, I have a lot of respect for Coach Quinn, but he's wrong on that one. He's got to go for two there. Anytime you have a chance to make it a one score game or change it from a touchdown to a field goal, you got to make that happen, especially late in the third quarter. You don't have that many possessions after that. There's not many left. If it's early in the first quarter, maybe. You know, if it's 8 minutes ago in the first quarter, maybe you kick the extra point and don't chase points. But in my opinion, anytime you have a chance to go from 10 to 8, that is a significant change.
Yeah.
Right? You got to go for two there to cut it to 8 and then make it a one possession game. Because even if you don't make it, it's still a touchdown field goal. You just don't win it, go into overtime.
Or
you
exactly.
can go for two on your. So you still have a chance, but you got to go for two there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay Gruden is with us again, Ted Britt Automotive Group, with us for another year. So a couple of, just one or two more other Commanders things. So Daron Payne started out really strong, was, you know, putting pressure again, not closing that door as we kind of talked. Same thing with Jonathan Allen. Do you think these guys have just played too many snaps over the last couple of years, and maybe that's why they sometimes can't close the door and maybe sometimes disappear for large stretches? Or do you think that's just the nature of that position?
A little bit of both. I think they, you know, those guys need some rest. I think the great defensive linemen, other than Aaron Donald, they platoon. You don't want them playing 60 snaps a game. They need to play about 35, 40 snaps so they're fresh. And they're playing a new system. Last year was a different system with Ron. The year before when I was there, they had a different system with us. So they're learning a new system, the new calls, and it's probably more up the field slanting and getting penetration a little bit more quicker than they're probably used to. So there's a learning curve there. And I know Dan Quinn likes to stunt, lots of TEs, ETs, TTEs, a lot of that stuff. So they're working through that and the timing with that with Farrell and Armstrong and those other guys up front. So that'll take some time. But I expect those two guys to have another big year. And once they get their feet underneath them and the season goes on and they learn a little bit more and the rush angles that Dan Quinn's looking for, I think they'll be productive again.
What caught your eye besides the struggles of the rookie quarterback week one around the NFL? Just simply the big upsets or big comebacks? You know, certain teams, obviously Buffalo, Pittsburgh going on the road against, you know, against our guy Kirk Cousins there. I mean, my goodness, New England taking advantage of Cincinnati. What, anything jump out at you?
There's some teams that are really struggling. I think Atlanta was a big surprise how poor they were on offense, and Kirk really didn't have much of a chance. You talk about receivers not getting any separation. Got to put on the Atlanta film. Holy cow, and he had no protection either. It was a brutal day. You know, it was the first time Zach Robinson's ever called play, so it's pretty much tough job for him, especially going against Pittsburgh. But that was a big surprise how much they struggled. I thought they'd play a lot better. Obviously, Cincinnati, you know, even though they had, you know, the other than T. Higgins, they had everybody there. They just couldn't move the ball again. Early in the season, for whatever reason, Cincinnati has struggled. And they did last year.
You're right.
That was a big surprise.
You're right.
And just the lack of growth for a couple of these second-year quarterbacks. You know, I think Carolina, just Bryce Young looked awful. He looked like a kid just out of high school. I mean, he couldn't do anything. And then, obviously, Will Levis, some of the decision-makings he had as a second-year quarterback just are head-scratchers. And, you know, they're still young. They're still going to go through some of these ups and downs, but you just expect these guys to continue to show progress, and they're not. There's a couple quarterbacks that are going to have a quick hook. You know, Gardner Minshew struggled. You know, Bo Nix struggled. So, you know, it's just tough. You know, if you don't have the quarterback playing at a high level and a lot of people helping them, these young guys are going to struggle. Daniel Jones looked absolutely clueless back there. So it's just a lot of concern for a lot of teams early. It's no need to panic after one game, but some of these guys' hearts got to be beating a little bit faster by the way they played on offense.
Speaking of quarterback struggling, it continues to be a show and not a good one for Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. They were hammered by Zimmer in Dallas. I mean, Zimmer is an ultra-aggressive, I mean, you know, and you know, an old-school coach, so that's still a good defense. But my goodness, Jay, what would you do? I mean, you got all this guaranteed money. I mean, the salary cap hits for next year and the year after are like $75 million because they keep moving money back. And this kid can't stay this young man can't stay healthy, and he's not good when he plays. What do you do there?
He hasn't played well in a long time, and he looked like he hasn't played quarterback in a long time. You got to give him some time, though, because you got a lot of money invested in him. He has shown a couple years of good quarterback play at Houston. That was a long time ago, I get it, but we kind of know what Jameis Winston is. You got to hope that this guy can battle out of it. It's only one game. Hopefully, after about five or six games, they get a better feel for him and prove. And if not, then you got to go to Jameis because there was really no redeeming qualities of his game against Dallas yesterday.
Dak Prescott got paid yesterday morning, 4 year, $60 million per year extension. You like, or $60 million is too much for a guy that doesn't always play well in the playoffs?
Well, he gets them there. So, you know, he's going to be in a contention for MVP again. He was last year. They just had a miserable game. The whole team had a miserable game against Green Bay last year. So, but yeah, I think if you have a quarterback of that caliber, you got to pay him. That's just the way it is. You know, and if you don't have one, you look at all these teams that we just mentioned that are struggling without a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They have no chance, zero. And if you have a quarterback that can get you to the playoffs, you have a chance to win Super Bowls, and that's what Dak can do, and you got to pay him.
All right, so, Jay, the fans can find you, again, on Twitter, X, whatever, at Coach_Jay Gruden, also part of the Underdog Fantasy team, right, this year?
Yeah.
So you're doing
making some picks. You know, I'm 2-1 on my picks.
Attaboy.
I had Jared Goff's higher 24 completions yesterday. I never got the ball, so I lost. That was my first loss of the year.
They ran the ball in overtime there, and they struggled really on offense. And we didn't even get to that. Was a pretty admirable, gutty effort from McVay's Rams team, right? No Puka for much of the game. They're missing their starting tackles. They lost a third early in the game. I think one of their interior guards was banged up and maybe didn't play a whole lot. That was a gutty effort by the Rams.
Sean's had experience coaching with lines that are hurt all the time. Remember, he worked for me. We kind of have a good idea of how to protect your quarterback and function when you don't have any linemen that you know of.
That's good. That's good.
You got to put their name on their helmet.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Walk in on Tuesday afternoon. Hello. Play on Sunday, right?
Yeah. Here's a snap count. Blue 85 set height. Okay. That's step one.
That's a good line. You haven't lost your fastball. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate you as always. I'll talk to you next week. All right.
Thank you, guys.
That is former Redskins head coach Jay Gruden joining us for another year each and every Monday. We have to move it around in a couple of weeks when the Commanders play on Monday Night Football. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters. Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling. All home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.